So we're up to Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis.
Yeah.
The top of the page. Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Now the Gemara brings here a string of expressions, of prayers, different kedolim. This one actually comes from Tehillim. I'll read the whole pasuk. The pasuk says, in Tehillim Perkuf Mem Dalid, Alufenu Misubolim Ein Peretz V'ein Yotzeis V'ein Svacha Birchovosenu. Now, it's a very complicated pasuk. I'll read to you the Mitzudas David. He writes, Alufenu Misubolim Hashvarim Shalanu Yu Bale Sevel Tuunos Masa Kaved. So there's some sort of a prayer here that his oxen, in this case, should be able to carry a heavy burden. I guess that means they'll be strong. But we're going to focus on the next part of the pasuk. Ein Peretz, which means Lo Yavo Pirtza Lo Banu. We shouldn't have any pirtza. So the Gemara wants to know what this pirtza is all about. Pirtza means some sort of a breakage. And the Gemara says, Shalo tehe seasenu kiseaso shel David. Now it's our group, so to speak, our friends, should not be like some of the friends and associates of David HaMelech. That's a little bit odd, but we're going to see here that there were a string of people who are part of David HaMelech's entourage, part of his group, but they unfortunately gave David HaMelech a lot of tzaras. So the first one on the list is Achitofel. And Tosus already points out, if you see on the top right, Achitofel Sheparatz Pirtza B'malchus based David. Sheparatz Pirtza B'malchus based David. So Achitofel eventually joins forces with Avshalom in the rebellion against David. And that's going to be number one. And that's Ein Peretz. Then it says, V'ein Yotzeis. And the V'ein Yotzeis, the Gemara says, Shalote se'asenu kiseyoso shel shol. Not like the group of Shaul. She'yotzu menu doeg ha'domi. Right now, doeg ha'domi is the story of Nov Ir Kohanim, where David HaMelech is running away from Shaul, who's out to kill him. And he ends up in a city called Nov. And Achimelech, the chief Kohen there, the Kohen Gadol, he takes in David and he says he's willing to greet him. He didn't know anything about the fact that David was running away from Shaul. But anyway, Doeg gets word of this. He comes back to Shaul and he tells him what's going on, that Nov is Kilu giving refuge to protect David. So at that point, Shaul decides to wipe out the Kohanim of Nov. He sends Doeg to do the dirty work, and that's what Doeg does. Then the next part of the pasuk says, V'ein Tzvacha. What's V'ein Tzvacha? Shalote se'asenu kise'aso shel Elisha. Not like the group of associates of Elisha, she'yotzimenu Gechazi. Now Gechazi, you may remember, who's Elisha's sidekick, When the king of Naaman, of I think it's Ashur, if I'm not mistaken, when he asked, you know, he got a cure from Elisha, and he went into the mikveh 7 times, it saved him, and he wanted to bring some sort of gift to Elisha. Elisha said no, meaning Elisha wanted to be Mekayim Shem Shamayim. And Gehazi ran after him to ask him what gifts he could get from him, you know, what benefits. Anyway, these are all people that are described in the Mishnah in Perek HaChelek as Ein Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba. They all gave up their places in the next world. It's Achitofel, whether it's Doeg, whether it's Gechazi. I think there was a fourth one on the list. I don't remember. Anyway, so we are praying to Hashem that our associates should not turn out so sour like some of these of David and Elisha. Now the end of the pasuk says Berchovosenu, and he says Shelo yeh lanu ben o talmid shemagdiach tavshilo barabim, which means that we shouldn't have a son or a disciple who will publicly sort of defy us. And then it says in the pasuk, this is another pasuk, it says Shimu elai Abire Lev, Harachokim Mitztaka. Now these Abire Lev are mighty people. Are they mighty in the positive sense? You know, like Tzaddikim, that Hashem listens to everything they say and He changes His Gzera? Or are we referring to mighty people who are trying to undermine other people? They're destructive, they're Rishayim. So that's going to be an issue here between Rav and Shmuel. Amilei, others say it was Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. Chad Omar, according to one opinion, Kola Olam Kulam Nizonim Bitzdaka Vehem Nizonim Bizroa. This is a reference to the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim are the ones who bring about the divine decision to bring down all the goods from heaven, to bestow the benevolence and support and sustain the people on this earth. So all that Tzaddaka, so to speak, which means the goodness of God, is going to be bestowed on the people that occupy this planet, and all bischuso, all in the merit of the tzaddikim, the abire lev. However, the tzaddikim themselves will barely have any food, like the Gemara says about I think it was Rav Chanina ben Dosa. He had charuvim from one day, from Sunday until Shabbos, and it means that they, the tzaddikim, don't need all this sustenance. They make do with the least amount of gashmius, of physicality, and they're able to survive and sustain on that. So they're leaving all their schar for Olam Haba. So it's sort of paradoxical, because they're going to bring down the rains, the heavens, and all the plenty from above in their schus, but yet they themselves are not going to enjoy the benefits of that sustenance. That's according to one of the two opinions. And the other opinion says, now the word Zroa here is interesting. Zroa usually means power, but it means the power of their good deeds. V'chan omar kol ha'olam kulam nizonim bizchusam. As we said before, the entire world is sustained because of the merits of the tzaddikim. They're the ones who justify the entire existence of the world. But heim afil bizchus atzman eini zonim. So that it could be that what I told you before maybe is more appropriate for the second interpretation. Maybe the first interpretation, what it says, heim nizonim bizroa, means they don't have to use up their zchuyot.
Right.
Look at Rashi. Let's see what Rashi says, the second line from the top. Heim nizonim bizroa. Rashi says, bizchus shebiyadam. Ah, so bizroa means that they could, so to speak, kiilu, demand that they be sustained. And these are tzaddikim who are rechokim mitztaka. They don't need tztaka. But on the other hand, the second interpretation is einam nizon. Paradoxically, although the tzaddikim are keeping the world going, but they themselves are not sustained by this tztaka. She'ein lem kidei tzarcheyam. They don't even have enough, you know, to call it all their needs. They somehow make do misparnasim bekoshi with a very limited amount. Yeah, I'm tempted to think that this Gemara should be understood in light of an earlier Gemara that we had about Yisurim Shel Ava, that sometimes tzaddikim, in order to purify them in this world, you know, we don't give them any reward here, and all their reward they even suffer in this world. Then the Gemara says, Kid Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Diom Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, B'chol Yom V'Yom, Baskol Yotzeis, Mehar Chorev, the Omeres, Kol Olam Kulo Nizonim B'Shel Chanina B'ni. Oh, maybe this is Rav Chanina Mendoza, I don't know. That there's a baskel that comes from Shamayim that says the whole world deserves to be sustained only because of my son Chanina. V'chanina b'ni, oh yeah, this has got to be Rav Chanina Mendoza, Dailo b'kav charuvim mi'erev Shabbos, erev Shabbos. I don't know why he wasn't... dying of malnutrition. I don't know how you can live for a full week on charuvim. I don't know what it does to your stomach. Anyway, upligia de Rabbi Yehuda. Now, until everything that we presented, the phrase abire lev is referring to the tzaddikim. But now we have another statement on the other end. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So this was all against Rabbi Yehuda. Mayan Abir, who are these Abir? Lev, Govoi, some sort of nation by the name of Govoi. Maybe these are the Givonim, who, if you recall, they tried to trick Yoshua into believing that they came from a far-off land so that Yeshua wouldn't destroy them as one of the seven nations. They were really one of the seven nations. And as a result, Yoshua made them into Chotvei Eitzim and Shavei Mayim. And then later on in history, David HaMelech made a gzera that they can't be Mizgayer, they can't be part of the Jewish folk. Anyway, they are called Tipshai, meaning, although Abirei Lev sounds like they were powerful, maybe it was a certain power in a negative sense. Rabbi Yosef wants to support the fact that these Abirei Lev, maybe Abirei Lev also means that they harden their hearts. Here they were exposed to Jewish people, Jewish learning and Jewish culture, and yet they weren't interested in being Mizgayer. They never really entered into their minds because they had hearts that were completely closed, that were solid and like steel. You couldn't permeate them. Rav Yosef, we don't find anyone amongst this nation called Guvoi that came to be Mizgayer. They were completely callous, not interested. Again, you might ask, well, wait a second. David HaMelech made a gzera not to accept them into the fold. They themselves would have been Mizgayer. But I have a feeling that their gerus was not a sincere gerus. They were only trying to become part of the people of Israel to protect themselves. Omar of Ashi, B'nai Mota Machasya. If you want to look for these evildoers, these hard, callous hearts, you'll find them in a place called Mata Machasya. These are the Abirei Lev Ninu. The Kachazu Yikara Do Raisa Trezimni Bishata. They witness the glory of the Torah as it's celebrated twice during the course of the year, because before the Moadim, let's say, for example, before Sukkot or before Pesach, where the halachas are very complicated, so the Rav of the city goes out and he darshans publicly, and the people throng to hear his insights into halacha. So this happens twice a year. Shavuos is not necessary because it's only a one-day yontif without any special mitzvahs, and yet here in Mata Machasya, they see this amazing sight, v'lo kama gayer giyurei minayu, and yet they're not impressed, and they have no interest in converting. Again, we don't have a philosophy that we're looking to. We're not missionaries, but nevertheless, you wonder why these people are so spiritually clogged up and closed that they don't get him, inspired by all that's going on around them. I'm reminded of this story, you must have heard it, about a policeman who stopped a Jew for speeding. A goyish cop. I don't know exactly, maybe it was in Jersey, I don't know. And he said to him, have you done your page today? You remember that story?
Yeah, that was after the MetLife, the Siyam HaShas.
Yeah. So it means that even a guy somehow was inspired. I'm not saying he's going to be Mizgayer, but all right. Now we go back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah here says that a chassan, if he wants to read Kriyat Shema on the night of his wedding, then he's allowed, right, he's invited to do so. He's not obligated. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. Lo kol harotzi yitol es Hashem. Not everyone should say, oh, I'm capable of focusing on Kriyat Shema on my wedding night. So the Gemara says, Lemeimra, shall we assume the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel chayishli yuara? That the reason why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel discourages a chasan from taking it upon himself to read Kriyat Shema on that night is because he's worried about yuara. Yuara means gaiva. You know, the person says, I'm more pious than he really, really is. He's not sincere. And they don't have to worry about yuara. They're not concerned about that. If a person wants to go beyond the letter of the law, that's fine. So Frek the Gemara of Ibcha Shaminalu, we found out the exact opposite. And this refers to a Mishnah in Psachim, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see if I'm right. I don't see a reference here. But in any event, so it says in the Mishnah, Makom shenagu lasos melacha b'tishah b'av osim, makom shenagu shelo lasos ain osim. So different minhagim about whether you're allowed to do melacha on Tisha B'av. And now the Chachamim say, the Tanakama, kol makom, v'chol makom talmini chacham b'teil. Anywhere on the face of the earth, even if they have a minig to do melacha, they allow melacha, but the talmini chachamim can decide that they don't want to do malacha. So they can take on this chumrah, and no one's worried about it. Now, if that be the case, then what we're saying is, oh, I see. Kol makom talmidei chachamim betelim. Let's just see if we can figure this out. What do you think it means, betelim? Betelim means they don't do malacha, correct?
Right.
So even in a place where the minig is to do malacha, that's what it sounds like to me. But let's read Rav Shimon Gamliel. Maybe we'll work backwards. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer li olam yasa kol odem es atzma ketamid chacham. Oh, I see. In other words, the talmidei chachamim were given license to abstain from halacha on Erev, on Tisha B'Av. The question is, can I say to myself, well, I'm like the Talmidei Chachamim, and I also can abstain from halacha. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, fine, anybody can make himself into a Talmidei Chacham. But the Chachamim say, no, only Talmidei Chachamim that are hardcore proven Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to abstain from halacha. So the Gemara asks, Kasha the Rabbana, the Rabbana, Kasha the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why? Because with regard to Malach on Erev, on Pesach, then the Chachamim are Mekil. No, they're Machmir. They don't allow you, unless you're a real bona fide card-carrying member of the Talmidei Chachamim Club, to abstain from Malach. So they're worried about you, someone who doesn't deserve this categorization, but he says, I'm going to prove myself. But in the case of a chasan, the chachamim were of the opinion that any chasan could decide that he's going to read Kriyat Shema on the night of his wedding. And we're not worried about Yura. So on Tisha B'Av with Malach, we're worried about Yura. Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, has the exact opposite stira, because in the case of Chasan and Kriyat Shema, he's worried about Yura. And in the case of Malach on Erev, on Tisha B'Av, he gives you a carte blanche. Anyone can make himself into a Talmid Chacham. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Muchlefes Ashita. We're going to have to switch around the names over here. Who holds what? And he doesn't tell us in which direction we should do that. Okay. Rav Shisha Berei de Rav Idi Omar Liolam Lo Tachlif. There's no need to switch around the sheets. I can reconcile this apparent contradiction. De Rabbana Lo Kasha. Why? Kriyat Shema came into Kuli Alma Kokaru V'iyu Nami Kari Lo Mixa Kiyur. If the Chassan is just making himself like everybody else, and he's reading Kriyat Shema, that doesn't have an apparent, doesn't send out that, project that image of Yura, that he's doing something special. He's really just doing what everybody else does. But here he's in a town where they do malacha on Tisha B'Av, and he's going to say, no, I'm frumer than the Pope, I'm not going to do malacha on Tisha B'Av. Is then, if Kuli Alma Avdi Malacha, everyone in that vicinity is doing malacha, the Iu Loka Avdi, and he's the one who says, I'm more religious, is Michzik Yura. So we reconciled the Rabbanan. How could a person on the night of his wedding be able to focus on Kriyat Shema, and he needs intention? So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, don't make yourself into this frum guy, and you say, oh, I can concentrate. That's you,
right?
Aval hacha, but here in the case of malacha on what? On Tisha B'Av. Is harah omer, malacha hu di'ein lo. Ah, the fact that he doesn't go to work that day could just simply mean that he has no work. Because puk chazi, go out in the street and take a look. Kama vatlani ika b'shuka. There are many people who don't do work, so that's not called Yura. People can interpret it as if he doesn't have work that day. So we're going to start the third perek now, perek Misha Meso. And this is a continuation of what we learned about a chasson, that we said he's potter from Kriyat Shema. And this chapter is going to speak about other people besides a chasson on his wedding night who are also likewise potter from Kriyat Shema. So the Mishnah says the following. Misha Meso Mutalafanov. So he lost one of his seven close relatives, and he's obligated in Avelus, and he hasn't yet buried the dead. And the Gemara later on is going to have an issue about what Mutalafanov means. Does it means, you know, the mess is right there in front of him, or just that he has an obligation to bury the dead? Potter mi kriyat shema uminat tefila uminat tefillin. Now, the truth is, this minat tefillin is very problematic because an avel is in any event potter minat tefillin, at least on the first day. Forget about whether it's mesa mutalafanov or not mesa mutalafanov. So why did the Mishnah have to tell me that he's potter because of Mesa Mutalafanov Dafka? So the Rashba gives an answer that really the Tana didn't have to teach me this. The only reason the Ptur is mentioned here is Agav, he mentions Kriyat Shema Tefillah, so he mentions Tefillin as well. But then the Rashba gives a different answer, and he says that this din, that an Avel is potter min atfilin on the first day of his Avelus, lo nemar ela achar kvuras ames, that only applies after the burial of the dead, when he's an Avel. But before he buries the dead, then he's not potter because of his Avelus, he's not even an Avel, but the Mishnah wants to tell me he's potter in any event because of his status as an Onen. Now let's ask the following question. Why does the Mishnah mention tefillin only after it mentions tefillah? Usually tefillin comes before tefillah. So if you take a look in Rabbi Kivager, who has comments on the Mishnah, he says that the Mishnah didn't really mention the ptur of tefillin to tell me any chidush, because even after burial on that first day of Avelus, he's potter from tefillin. It's only mentioned Agav Urcha. So therefore, he puts it at the end of the list. But there's another commentary on the Mishnah that's called Tosus Yontif. And he writes that tefillin are mentioned at the end of the list after Shman Tefillah because he's wearing them the whole day, even after he davened. So although in the sequence, he puts on the tefillin first before he davens, but he continues to wear the tefillin even after he finishes davening. Okay, fine. Now let's make one other point here that's very important, and that is that when it says in the Mishnah, we call mitzvos hamuras b'Torah, we're referring only exclusively to mitzvos aseh. The onen is enjoined from all the los aseh. There's no difference between an onen and any other Jew. You know, he doesn't have carte blanche to eat treifus or to kill somebody. He's only exempt from mitzvos aseh. But you should know that although in our Mishnah it says when we call mitzvos hamuras b'Torah, if you open up the Mishnayos and look up this Mishnah, you won't find it there. In other words, there are those who say that, and this may be Rabbi Yonah's opinion, that the only exemption for an onen is Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, and Tefillin. Only those three. Because those three require a special kavana. He has to have an intention more than in other mitzvahs. In Kriyat Shema, of course, it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. In Tefillin, because he's not allowed to be Meisiach Das from Tefillin. In Tefillah, you need Kavana throughout the Tefillah. And certainly in Avos, you need Kavana. So since he's so tarud, he's so preoccupied with the dead, if the dead hasn't been buried yet, he's not able to be Mechavim, to have the right Kavana in these three mitzvahs, but other mitzvahs which don't require such a kavana, he's chayav. And this Rabbeinu Yonah,
we don't pass them like that, obviously, right?
I think we assume that an onen is potter from all the mitzvahs, but there are some who might say that it all depends on whether he's involved in burying the dead. Like if he, in our day, that the chevra kadisha is pretty much taking care of the kvura, so maybe we should be more demanding that an onen should do certain mitzvahs. But be that as it may, Rabbi Yon, even after he quotes this opinion that takes out these words when we call mitzvah Torah, he himself, Rabbi Yon, puts it back in, and he says it's not just three mitzvahs, but it's all the mitzvahs. And he asks the question, so why does the Mishnah have to spell out these three mitzvahs? It says, Mikol mitzvahs amuras b'Torah. And the answer is because these three mitzvahs are very special, and they're very chamur. We don't want to give up on these mitzvahs, but in this case, he's parted from all mitzvahs, including these mitzvahs. Now here's an additional question here. Rashi says that the chassan is potter from Kriyat Shema because he's torah b'mitzvah. And Rabbeinu Yonah says that according to that logic, if he wants to be machmir on himself and read Kriyat Shema, he's allowed to do so. And we had a whole long sugi about that. And our sugi was in reference to a chassan. What would be the status of an onen? Let's say the onen says that he despite his tirda, he can concentrate. Would he be allowed to, or an obligated to, read Kriyat Shema? So on this is a whole list of different sources. There's a Tosis, there are other Rishonim, there's Yerushalmi, and basically they all come to the conclusion that in the case of an onen, in contrast to the case of a chassan, he is not allowed to read Kriyat Shema. He can't say, well, I'm okay with it, I can read Kriyat Shema. And for two reasons. One reason is kvodo shel mes. If he gets involved in mitzvahs, it means he's cruel, he's insensitive to the death that he suffered. He's living his life as usual. Life goes on as usual. The second explanation is that if he's going to get involved in mitzvahs, then who's going to take care of the mess? He may get so involved in mitzvahs that no one is going to feel that responsibility to bury the dead. Now we get to the, I think it's called in English, pallbearers or something like that. In Hebrew, it's called Nosei HaMita. So these are the ones who carry the deceased to burial. V'chilufeyen. And you can't expect one group to do the whole thing. You know, it's quite an undertaking. So we have chilufeyen. We have what we call second string nosei amita. They're in the bullpen waiting for their turn. Not only that, we need chilufei, and we need even a third set of nosei amita. So what's the deal? Are they obligated in all the mitzvahs, or should we apply the principle of ha'osek b'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah? So these three strings, you know, the first, the second, and the third, so the halacha, the Mishnah paskins, that es shelifnei amita, those who are in front of the coffin or the bier, whatever you call it, and the es shaliach amita, and even those who have already carried from the front, now they drop back to the back. So they, according to one way of reading this Mishnah, they're all going to be potter from the mitzvahs. We'll see which mitzvahs. But the way we read the Mishnah is the following. It all depends. Tzorech bahem, if the group of pallbearers that drop to the back, they've already done that thing, you know what I mean? They've already carried the bier, and now we don't need them anymore. So those who are up front are literally on deck. You know, if they're not actually carrying the mita, they're waiting, you know, to get the green light to carry the mita. So those are pturim. They are exempt from Kriyat Shema. But Eshiliacha mita, those who already have carried the mita up front and now they're in the back, so they fit into one or two categories. There's Tzorech Bahem, and there's Ein Tzorech Bahem. Now, what does this mean? You could say that Tzorech Bahem means that they'll get their turn again. In other words, it's a rotation, and they'll be called upon, you know, down the line. But the Mishnah seems to assume that even if they'll be called in later on, since they already fulfilled their mitzvah, then there's enough time for them after they dropped out, you know, even if they'll get a second round. But it's like in baseball, you know, you got up in the first inning and then they'll call you up again in the fifth inning or whatever it is. So during that time period in between, you have to read Kriyat Shema. But keep in mind that Kriyat Shema takes a short period of time. Tefillah requires a longer period of time. But moreover, so now we can read the Mishnah. It says, V'elu V'elu, even those who have already carried the bier, and they have free time now, so to speak, until they get their next round, nevertheless, Peturim in Tefillah. So that Tefillah is a more time-consuming business, and we don't want them to be, you know, dedicated to tefillah. At Kriyat Shema, they can, so to speak, hop lop. They can do it really, really quickly. Now, I have a note here that I wanted to share with you. He writes that Derech HaMischalfim Milivui HaMes B'Nesias Mitoso. In other words, they have a rotation system. Everybody gets a chance to carry the coffin, and then they'll give a chance to the next replacement. And it could be, as Rashi says, chilufeyam. If you take a look at Rashi, he mentions that everybody wants a piece of this mitzvah. We want to give everyone an opportunity, right? Lefisha kol chafetzim lizkos bo Rashi, the last few words on five lines down from the top. The Rambam writes that his chalfus benesias amita nases kasha misayfim. It's only because they get tired and then they're replaced. Not because they want to be magnanimous and give someone else a chance.
Right.
Now the Mishnah says pturi elu vielu pturi min atfila. So it means they can read Kriyat Shema when they're behind the mita, they have time. But lefisha lefamim mishtane seder nose amita v'chilufei chilufeim nose nosa kodem chilufeim. In other words, everybody has to be on call. You never know when you'll get a turn. And even if, let's say, you're in the next group, which is called chilufei chilufeim, you know, the second string, but nevertheless, it could be possible that there'll be a change in terms of the order and who gets called up to carry the coffin. So you got to be on standby, and therefore tefillah is not a good idea. You can't get distracted with tefillah and then be ready to be called upon in a split second to carry the meat. All this is because of kavod ames and the mitzvah of kvura. Now, we could ask the following question. If they've already carried the mess, they got that chance, then we said they fall back, and they're behind the mita, and they will be chayav in Kriyat Shema. So I just want to add something here from the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah. He writes, Hayadarkom lahachlef, he's basing himself on Rashi, that they wanted to give everyone an opportunity. Umashma sheish harbe sheis asku b'mes. Ela she'ein meinichim liyachidim lis'asik v'kach b'chdei lizkosis kulam. So even though they could get away with a smaller amount of people, they want everyone to get involved. Ulam adayim mechabdim anoshim mechubodim losseis pa'amayim. There are those in the crowd that will get a second chance. And the Anoshim Elu, who are between the first chance that they had, the first round of carrying the dead, and the second, Chayovim B'Kriyat Shema. Why? Because the mitzvah still needs them. And again, even though the mitzvah could be fulfilled by someone else, but nevertheless, if they have the opportunity to fill that mitzvah, and although they've already fulfilled that mitzvah once, nevertheless, it's still considered kavod ames on the second round, and if they could fit in Kriyat Shema between the first round and the second round, that's what they're obligated to do. Okay. Now there's a Tosfos here, Dibra Maschil Hachi Garsinon, and Tosfos mentions Rashi, that the reason why these those who are in the behind, the back, they have to read Kriyat Shema, even if they will be needed in a matter of time, they'll get a second round, because lefisha laolam lo ayu regil lases elu shekfar nasu. This is a whole different pshat than what we said before. We said before that the reason why they're chayav in Kriyat Shema is because they have a break in between the first and the first time they carried and the second time they carried. Now he's saying something else. He's saying that the reason why they're obligated in Kriyat Shema is because, generally speaking, they get only one shot, only one turn, and mostly in most cases we won't even call upon them for a second round. Now, I mentioned before the Tosfos Yontif, who's a commentary on the Mishnah, he adds the following point. He says that those who come to escort the dead and are not carrying the coffin, so like, for example, I can tell you just at a funeral I was here in Yerushalayim recently, and there were very few people who actually carried the mitzvah. Most of the people were in a tremendous entourage of hundreds of people that came behind. So those people are not potter from Kriyat Shema. Even though they are being malava the mess, because they're not torahed in the mess. It's only those who are carrying the coffin, they are torahed b'mess. Now, before we go on in the Mishnah, I want to go back to something that we touched on. The Mishnah says that Meso Mutal Afanav, the Onen, one of the seven relatives, is Pata Mikriyat Shema, etc. And what does that mean, Pata from Kriyat Shema? So here's a gigantic machlokas about all mitzvahs. What was the status of an Onen with regard to mitzvahs? Is he allowed to do mitzvahs? So first of all, take a look at Tosus, Divra Maskel Potter, the second Tosus in the Perek. And he says, B'Yushalmi Mefarsh Taima, Omer Rabbi Bun, Ksiv Laman Tizkar, Ad Kol Yimei Chayecha, Yomim Shata Osek B'Chayim, V'lo Yomim Shata Osek B'Mesim. So there's a special drush in the Yushalmi to tell us that you don't read Kriyat Shema on a day that you are Osek B'Mesim. And it sounds like we're not applying the universal principle of HaOsek B'Mitzvah Potem in a Mitzvah, insofar as the Onen is obligated in Kfuras HaMes, but a special din and a unique halacha with its own derivation, its own Yalfusa. And this might touch on a Tosis that quotes the Yushalmi. Maybe it's the same Yushalmi, I don't know. And this you'll see on the bottom of the Amud if you count up six lines. And he says, B'Yushalmi ka'omar imrotza lahachmir ein shomin lo. Ein shomin lo. Which means that we don't even listen to him if he wants to be machmir upon himself. So I'm thinking out loud that maybe this Yushalmi is lishitaso. That since Yushalmi has a special pasuk with regard to this halacha of yomim shata osek b'chayim v'lo yomim shata osek min ha-mesim, it could be that it puts aninus and kfura on a separate level. And you're not even allowed to do the mitzvahs. Maybe it would be an insult to the dead if you would say, I'm going to get involved in the mitzvahs. I'm going to juggle everything. So it's a question as to whether or not an onen, we touched on it earlier today, can take it upon himself to do the mitzvahs. All right, let's see if we can at least finish the Mishnah.
Right.
Kavru es ames. Now we're up to what's called the shura. So after the burial chazru, they come back from the actual cemetery. And yicholim lahaschil v'ligmar adshelo yagil shura yaschilu v'im lav lo yaschilu. Now there's a little bit of a time lapse between when they get out of the cemetery and when they stand up in the shura in order to be menachem the avel. And if there's some sort of like direct contact or eye contact, if you will, between the menachem and the avel, then obviously that's not a good time to read Kriyat Shema. You know, you're obligated to be menachem avelin. But if until you get to the shura, you know, you're on your way, there's a little bit of a time break, then you're obligated to read Kriyat Shema. But all this is conditional on the fact that you'll be able to begin Kriyat Shema before you get to the Shura. Ha'omdim b'Shura apnimim pturim mikriyat Shema v'achitzonim chayovim. So there are two groups of Shura. There's one line after the other. And if you're on the inner line, so you see the Avel, he makes eye contact, then you're certainly parted from the mitzvahs, parted from Kriyat Shema. Why? Because you're close enough to the Avel that you have to be with him. But the Chitzonim are in the second, or maybe in the third row, they don't see the face, they don't make eye contact with the Avel, and therefore Chayovim, they're obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Those are the Chitzonim. Now the next part of the Mishnah is questionable, whether it's here or there. We're going to leave it out. You may have it in parentheses because that part of the Mishnah really appears in a different chapter and in a different part of three blot from now.
Okay.
Now, as far as the Omdi Bishuras are concerned, after the Menachem and the Avelim passed them by, at that point, the Chayev and Kriyat Shema. If you take a look at the Beis Yosef and our Chaim Simonine Beis, you get the impression that if we wouldn't have time enough to read Kriyat Shema afterwards, they shouldn't miss Kriyat Shema. They should read it now. So the Mishnah Berurah tries to explain what that means. They should read it now. Maybe they could fit it in before the Avel passes them by. In any event, Nicham Avelim is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Rambam says in Perek Yudal Milchus Avel, it's included in the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim of Yavta L'Reicha Kamocha, and it's a d'oraisa. And although the Rambam seems to say that it was the Rabbanan in terms of the Takana, so the Chiyuv is the Rabbanan, but the Kiyum is d'oraisa. And even if I assume that this mitzvah of Nicham Avelim is the Rabbanan, nevertheless they still would be potter from Kriyat Shema, despite the fact that Kriyat Shema is d'oraisa. And that's the principle of Osek B'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Now, as we said before, the Pnimiyim in the Shura, because they see the face of the Avel, they're potter from Kriyat Shema. They are so close to the Avel that they can speak to him, and they're obligated to speak to him and give him words of Nechama. But the Chitzonim, who do not see face to face the Avelim, they are chayev in Kriyat Shema. Now let's take a look at the Gemara, and then we'll go over that Tosfos Divrei Masavienu Mevarech, because we only read part of it. The Gemara wants to know, with regard to Misha Meso Mutal Afanov, what is the exact Ptur? Is it Dafka when the Avil is there and the corpse is in his presence? So Gemara says that Mutal Afanov in, when is he potter mitzvah? Only if it's Mutal Afanov. He's in the presence of the mess. But the Eino Mutal Afanov lo, if the mess is somewhere in the house and he's in a different room, or maybe he's not even in the house at all, so he's not potter, he's chayev in Kriyat Shema. And the Gemara says, Raminu, I have a brisa that says, Misha Meso Mutal Afanov Ochel Bebayis Acher, that he shouldn't eat in the same room where the mess is. That's called Loig LaRosh. We'll talk about that another time. And Im Elo Bayis Acher, he can't go to another room. He only has a one-room house. Ochel Bebayis Chaver, he has to eat in his friend's house. Im Elo Bayis Chaver, he doesn't have a friend who would invite him in. Let's say he's a ger, or maybe he's living amongst Goyim. Is Ose Mechitza, he sets up a separation of 10 tfachim high to be mafsik between him and the mess, the ochel, then he can eat. The imelo dover lasis ba mechitza, what's the, in the worst case now, he can't even find the materials to set up a mechitza, is machzir part of the ochel, he should turn away, turn his back to the mess, and then he can eat. The eno mesiv, the ochel, but it should not lean on the left side, because that's a derech hashivus, and that's not appropriate in the presence of the dead. V'yeno ochel basar, v'yeno shosu yayin, v'yeno mevarech. Now, what does v'yeno mevarech mean? We're talking about birchas hamotzi, we're talking about a birchas hanenim before eating. So it says, v'yeno tzorech levarech birchas hamotzi kodem achiloso. That's pretty way out, that he's allowed to eat without making a bracha. That's the din of an onen. Very shocking, in a sense. Now, you may ask why that's not a violation of a lav. We said that an onen is chayev on all the lavim of the Torah. So this is a mission that mentions Hesebo. We have it elsewhere in brachas. We also have it in Pesachim, the mitzvah of Hesebo. He leans on his left side, and he eats. But this is something that's so indicative of chashivus, it's inappropriate in the presence of the mess. And one absolute iser with regard to an onen is eino ochel basar, eino shosu yayin. He's not allowed to eat meat or drink wine. V'eino mevarech. Now here we have machlokas. Rashi and Tosfos that I mentioned earlier. Let's go through this again. Rashi says v'eino mevarech enu tzarach levarech birkas hamazon. V'eino mezamein enu tzarach levarech birkas hamazon. And Tosfos, yes, according Rashi, says that if he it would seem according to Rashi, if he wants to be mevarech, he's allowed to do so. It's optional and voluntary on his part.
Why
is it that he's not allowed to be mevarech? So either because of the kavod of a mess, it's not mechubad if he's not going to. If he's going to not going to take the halacha up on the exemptions, and instead he's going to be machmir and recite all the brachos. And the second reason is very similar to the first reason, because of the expediency, the urgency of being out there to make sure that everything is done properly. And that's kvoda shel mes. And that Tosa says inami mipnei she'ein lo mi she'yisa maso. Getting back to the brayse of the eno mizamein, notes he doesn't have to recite birkas hamazon. And now we're going to turn to daf yud ches amud aleph. The ein mevarchim olav, which means that we don't have to look for people to eat with him so that they'll make the bracha and they'll be motzi him in the bracha. V'ein mezamnin olav, he's not mitztarif to shlosha for zimun, because he himself is not a bar chiyuv in birkas hamazon, he's mufka from the chiyuv. U'potu mikriyat shma min atfilim called mitzvah amuras betorah. U'b'shabbos meisev v'ochel basa v'shosa yayin. So the aninus will be suspended on Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of Shabbos. Meisiv yochel basav shosiyin, all for the sake of the mitzvah of Shabbos, and that's going to trump the avelus and the iser of basar and yayin. Mevarech umezamen umevarchen olav mezamnen olav on Shabbos. He's back into the ballpark. And he will recite Birkas HaMotzi, he will recite Birkas HaMazon, others can be Motzi him Yidei Chova, U'mezamnin Olav, he's mitztarif Shloshah for Chiyuv of Zimun. V'chayev b'chol ha-mitzos ha-muros ba-Torah. And you get the distinct impression that Aninus is completely suspended on Shabbos. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, mitoch sheneschayev bi'elu, neschayev b'kulon. Once we say on Shabbos, there's no aninus, and he's chayev in all these mitzvahs that we spoke about, of Birkas HaMazon and Zimun, then he's chayev in all mitzvahs Sheba Torah. V'yomer Rav Yochanan mai beinayu, what's the difference between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel? Both of them say that he's chayev on Shabbos in all mitzvahs Sheba Torah, and the answer is nafkamina for what we call dvarim shebitzina, tashmish amita yike beinayu. According to the Tanakam, on Shabbos he is chayev in all mitzvahs, but yet he is potter from the mitzvah of ona. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, he's chayv in all mitzvahs, and even in this mitzvah as well. So the Tanakam holds, Eino chayv in mitzvahs ona, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says he's chayv in mitzvahs ona, and this is all part of the Gemara's Kashik, because leading up to the Kashik, Ketoni Mias, it says here in the Brice of Potomi Kriyat Shema Minatfilim called Mitzvah Muspet Torah. And that's implying even if he's eating in Beis Chavero, there's no qualification here, even if it's not Meis Mutol B'fon of Mamish, the Braisa doesn't make any distinctions between Mutol B'fon of Eino Mutol B'fon of. So it's difficult. How do we understand that Mishnah? The Mishnah says that he's not Potter unless it's Meiso Mutol B'fon of. So the Braisa doesn't qualify here. The Ptur, it seems to be an all-inclusive, unqualified Ptur, even if he's eating in some other place. It's not Mesu Mutul Fanav. How do we reconcile that with our Mishnah, Rav Papa, Targuma? In other words, let's reinterpret the Braisa. When the Braisa says an Onin is potumi kol mitzvus, amachzir panav yochel. Which means that if someone doesn't have a bias, another bias, he doesn't have a base chaver to avail himself of, he's allowed to eat bifnei ames, but just has to be machzir ponov. And now the Braisa continues, v'yena ochel basar, he's not allowed to eat meat, v'yena mevarech, u'pata mikriyat shema, u'mikol mitzvah muris bat Torah. This is not a din unto itself, el akol, Osek b'misha meso mitum afalav, aval hanimtza b'beis acher chayev b'chol mitzus kifi shemashba b'mishnah seinu. So what we have over here, the sheet of Rav Papa, then only b'funav is part of an mitzus, but if it's b'beis acher, then he's chayev b'chol mitzus at Torah, and the Mishnah itself has to be qualified then. Because we had the impression that we had the impression that although the Mishnah requires Mesa Mutul Funav, in the case of the Braisa, so we don't require that, and Ein Lo Bayis, so Beis Chavero, etc., is he has to be Machzer Funav. So when the Braisa says V'yeno Ochel Basar, V'yeno Mevarech, who puts him in a Kriyat Shema, called Mitzvah Torah, that's not a separate entity. But it's all addressing the case of Misha Mesa Mutul Lefanov. And if it's Befanov, that's one thing. But if it's Nimtza Beis Acher, then he's Chayav B'chol Mitzvah Muris B'Torah. Rav Ashi Omar, Vashi goes back and he assumes that which we learned in the Braisa that only is Potemi called Mitzvah Muris B'Torah, that's even if he's in another house or another room called Bayis Acher. And our Mishnah also holds that way. And what it says here in the Mishnah, Misha Mesa Mutul Fana Potom Kriyat Shema, Umikol Mitzvah Samuras Betorah, which Mashma, that he's not Potter until it was Mesa Lefanov. It's Kevin Shemutul of Lekovra, Kemutul Olav Dami. That it doesn't mean Mutul Fanov Mamish in our Mishnah, but rather it means that he's chayev in kvura. So mutal milafanav means olav. It's mutal olav lekovro. He's obligated to bury the dead. Shenemar, we saw in the death of Sarimenu, vayokom avram yalpnei meso, v'nemar v'ekbra mesi milafanai. So the same moment of time when it wouldn't be meso mutalafanav, nevertheless, he is running around, trying so hard to find the Makom Kfura, is called Zman Shemutal Olav Lekovro Kimutal Olav Damya. So as long as he has the obligation, so it's not Mutal Fanav in the physical, literal sense, but Mutal Fanav means in the halachic, obligatory sense, once he has that obligation, then he will be potter from all the other mitzvahs. Okay, we'll stop here on the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph.